Today's Shiur Masechta Babasra Daf Chavav. We will begin on Daf Chav Hei Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel. Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, Halach Krab Yossi. Halach is like Krab Yossi. That the Mishnah taught us, let's review the words that the Mishnah says, Rab Yossi Yomer, Abishag Bar Kaidemis Le'ilon. Our Mishnah taught us that a tree within 25 amos of a bar, the roots of the tree extend and can damage the bar. Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't make a difference if the bar is there first or the tree is there first. La Yokutz, the owner of the tree doesn't have to cut down his tree. The person that made a bar made it on his own property, and the person that made the tree made it on his own property. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, Halach Krab Yossi. Says the Gemara further, Amar Rav Ashi, Ke'avon by Rav Kahana, when we learned in Yeshiva by Rav Kahana, Havramin, we learned, Maid Rav Yossi Begiri Delay, today, that if it's a direct cause, if it's a direct outgrowth of his action, even Rav Yossi would agree that you have to avoid it. And as we learned, in Masecht Bava Metzia, and Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, what's the example of Giri Delay? The Gemara said, that if we live in a two-floor home, and somebody in the upper story is washing his hands, and the water seeps into the floor, the ceiling of the lower level, and then ultimately it leaks into the lower floor, that would not be Giri Delay. But if it was a situation that there was some sort of a hole in that ceiling, and as the occupant of the upper apartment washes his hand, the water goes directly into that hole, into the lower apartment, that is called Giri Delay. Says the Gemara, Papa Yona was first a poor person, Vehesher, and then he got wealthy. Have a bona fandana, and he was building a mansion. Have a chanach itzure b'shivusei. There were people who pressed sesame seeds in his neighborhood. They kavadaike shumshmi, that when they would press the sesame seeds, havenayid afandana, the walls of the mansion would shake. Asla kamed Rav Ashi, so this question was brought to Rav Ashi, could Papa Yoina demand that they stop pressing these sesame seeds? So Taisus and the Rajba both discuss, why does the Gemara have to tell us the history here? So first he was poor, and then he became wealthy. So Taisus says, the Chiddush of the Gemara is, that even though when the person who built the sesame seed press, he built it completely legally, because Papa Yoina, his neighbor, was poor, and he had no reason to believe that he would get wealthy, and therefore wouldn't cause any damage to any home of Papa. Still, the Gemara is teaching us that when he ultimately became wealthy, he had a legitimate claim that this sesame seed presser has to be concerned that he's ruining his mansion. That's how Tosfos learns the Gemara. The Rashba explains the Gemara, so that means as follows. According to Tosfos, the Chiddush of the Gemara is that even though Papai was poor, and therefore the person who made this press didn't do anything wrong, still, when Papa became wealthy, he has now a problem. What would have been, according to Tosfos, if this neighbor was always wealthy? So certainly, there's a concern here that how did you make a press next to your wealthy neighbor who may have a home that will get damaged because of your press. That's how Tosfos learns the Gemara. Rashba learns the Gemara just the opposite. The Rashba says the only reason Papai had a valid claim was because he wasn't wealthy, and therefore there was no reason for him to complain, to protest, why somebody was making a press next to him. But according to the Rashba, let's say there was a wealthy person, and somebody made a press next to the home of the wealthy person, and that wealthy person did not protest for 3 years, then it's too late. what's the basis of the machloikis between Tosfos and the Rashba. We learned earlier in our perek that you can have a chazaka for any use. If you do something next to my home for 3 years or maybe even less, you could get a chazaka, as we described. It's called a cheskas tashmishin. But the Gemara said there are certain things that you can't have a chazaka for. The Gemara says kutra, spoke, besakise. A chazaka can never be established for those types of uses. According to Tosfos, press is the same type of situation where you can't establish a chazaka. So certainly if it was a wealthy person who may build a home there, you don't have a chazaka for a press. But even the Gemara tells us for a poor person, once he gets wealthy, the chazaka is terminated. The Rashba says no. The chazaka of a press, according to the Rashba, is not on the same category of kutra and beis akisei. And therefore, specifically in this situation, where Papa had no reason to believe that he's going to get wealthy, and that's why, even though a chazaka was established, he can now say it was established under different circumstances. But if it was established where Papa were wealthy, the chazaka stands. Also, kamei Rav Ashi, so they came to this question with Rav Ashi. Amalei, and Rav Ashi said, Kiava Rei Rav Kahana, when we by the Yeshiva Rav Kahana, as we started our shir, have Raminin, we learned, Maidav Ariyosi Begiri Delay. And this is a situation of Giri Delay. And we shot him debate, what does the Gemara mean when it says that this is a situation of Giri Delay? Some Rishonim say that this is a situation of Giri Delay, and you have to now remove your press that it shouldn't do damage. Others say it was Giri Delay, and you owe Papai money for compensation for the damage you caused to his wall. Says the Gemara Vakama. So how long is it considered damage from the press to my wall? Says the Gemara, Kedenayid Nachtema Pume de Chafza. So Rashi explains that if there was a barrel on the wall of this mansion, if the press shook the wall to such a degree that the lid of that barrel would fall off because of the vibrations, that's considered that the press is damaging the wall. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says that if it's that serious that the barrel on the wall, the lid is shaking, that's a very serious vibration. So therefore, Tosfos says it's referring to a situation where if somebody were walking with a barrel near this press, the barrel's lid would shake. That's already considered damaging. Other Rishonim, I saw Thurp Shand Rishonim, explained that it's not the barrels on the wall, nor is it being carried by somebody next to the wall. It's laying on the floor next to the wall. And if it shakes so much that the lid shakes or falls off, that's already considered a serious situation. Continues the Gemara. The Bay Marian Berei de Ravin, Kinafzi Kitna, when they would comb the linen, have Asla Raksa, the psoilus, the shafe of the linen would go, or Maski Enshi. It would travel and damage people who would get hit by it. Asla Kamei de Ravina. And they came to Ravina and asked, what is the halacha? Omale, so he responded, Ki amina moide Rabbi Yosi begiri delay. When we keep on speaking about Rabbi Yosi agreeing that giri delay is osur, hani mili, when is it considered giri delay? Dozle mekoichoi, if it comes directly because of my action. Hocha, but in this case, zikuhu de kamamtela, it's the wind that's blowing this psoilus, and that's why it's not considered giri delay. So the Tosfos and the Rishonim discuss that when we learned Masecht Baba Kama, we learned about two situations of mazikim. One situation of mazik is Eish. Now fire in itself is not a mazik. The first Mishnah Masecht Baba Kama calls fire a mazik. It's not a mazik until it travels. The wind makes it travel, yet it's called a mazik. Furthermore, the Gemara Masecht Baba Kama many times quoted Sakinoi or Masoi, Avnoi Sakinoi or Masoi, or somebody's stone, his knife, or a heavy package, Shenicham Beroish Gagoi, that somebody puts on his roof, and then the wind comes, a ruach metzuya, a regular wind, comes and blows those items away, I'm considered a mazik. So why is this any different? So the Rishonim and Achronim answer, Eish by itself is a mazik. Fire is dangerous. Psoilus is not dangerous. So you can't compare psoilus to Eish. Furthermore, Avnoi Sakina and Masoi, certainly if they travel, they can cause damage. So if I went and I chose to put my Avnoi Sakina and Masoi on my roof, where it could travel and do damage, I'm called a mazik. Here, I didn't put anything in a specific area where it could travel and do damage. I'm just combing my linen. And therefore, we can't compare this situation to either of those two situations. Maskula Mabravashi. So Al Gemara is saying, since it's not my act that's causing it to travel, rather it's the ruach, it's the wind, that's why I will not be responsible. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Mazoira, Veruach Messiah. Why is this different than one of the malachas of Shabbos? Is that if you winnow, that means you throw up the grain, and you winnow it, and it separates the kernels from the psoilus, it's considered a malach on Shabbos. There you're relying on the wind. Amru kameder ameima, and indeed this question was posed to Merema, that just like by Shabbos, Yechayif is Zoyra v'ruach Messiah, it's considered the malach of Zoyra, here too it should be considered Osir. And he said, indeed, based on this Raya, Haina Zoyra v'ruach Messiah, and therefore it's considered Giri delay. But as Tosfos points out, Tosfos says that Ravina wasn't impressed with this question. Why wasn't Ravina impressed with this question? Because Ravina said, we can't learn Hilchos Shabbos from Hilchos Mazik. It may be an Isser for Hilchos Shabbos, but it's not considered an Isser for Hilchos. It's not considered an Isser as far as Hilchos Mazik is concerned, and that's why it's not considered Giri Delay. Ask the Aglital. And Aglital says a very important concept here. He says, what is considered a malacha on Shabbos? Anything that was done in the Mishkan. So if it was done in the Mishkan, then obviously it's a malacha. What's Al Gemara saying that it was done in the Mishkan, and yet we're not considering it an act? So the Aglital says, it's not to say that if something was done in the Mishkan, it's automatically a malacha. It works the other way. Unless it was done in the Mishkan, it's not a malacha. But that doesn't mean everything done in the Mishkan is automatically a malacha. Ask the Gemara a different question. If a blacksmith is knocking with his hammer, and a spark flies away, and it does damage, the blacksmith is responsible. The chayiv l'shalim. So here too, I should be chayiv for the psoilus that flies from my combing the linen. Answers the Gemara, you can't compare the two situations. If I'm a blacksmith and I'm knocking with my hammer, I want the spark to leave my room, my house, wherever, because the spark could, chas v'shalom, cause a fire. So I want it to travel. I'm not specifically interested in this psoilus traveling, and therefore the two circumstances are not similar. Continues the Mishnah. Layita adam ilam sadok l'stei chaveroi. A person not allowed to plant a tree next to his neighbor's field. Elm kein hirchuk mimenu arba amas. Unless he distances it by 4 amas. Echad gefanim vechad kolilim. It makes no difference if I'm planting a vineyard or I'm planting any tree. As we will learn in the Gemara, the reason being, we have to have room for the plow to be able to travel between our trees, and we have to leave adequate space. Machloikis Rishonim, when the Mishnah says Arba Amos, what does that mean? That there has to be a total of a dalat Amos between you and me? That means each one of us has to leave 2 Amos? Or does each one of us have to leave 4 Amos for a total of 8 Amos? However, says the Mishnah, Hay Gedder Benetayim, if there's a wall separating our fields, then the halach is Zeh Soimich I could bring my trees up to the wall, and you could bring up your trees to the wall, because there's no concern that my plow is going to go into your property or vice versa, the plow can't go there because the wall is blocking the plow from entering. Continues the Mishnah. If I have a tree with the roots of my tree are going into your field, you want to be able to plow your field, and my roots of the roots of my tree are blocking you from accomplishing your plowing, so you need the top three tefachim of the soil to be able to plow, and therefore if my roots are there, you could cut those roots away. Another, however, continues the Mishnah, this thing was when you're plowing. So for plowing, as we just explained, you need the top three tefachim of the soil to do your plowing. But let's say you're digging a ditch in your field. Now a ditch is deeper than three tefachim. Since a ditch is deeper than three tefachim, you need to be able to go down all the way. You need to be able to go down all the way. And therefore, you could cut out the roots. Ve'etzim shaloi. We're going to learn in the Gemara, who does that mean that the roots, who keeps the roots? The owner of the tree or the owner of the bar? We'll learn in the Gemara. Tana, says the Gemara, Abba Amish Amru. When we speak about Arba Amos being kept between our trees, as we explained, is could they avoid the Sakarim. So that each one of us, that we should have room to move the plow. Amishmu, Kamen Shmu, Loi Shona El Eretz Yisrael. When was this thing said that you need Dalet Amos strictly in Eretz Yisrael? Ava B'Bavel. In Bavel, Shtei Amos, two Amos are adequate. Tayanami Hochi. The Brisa says, Lo Yitel Odom Ilon Tzomach L'Stei Chaveroi. You're not allowed to plow next to somebody else's field. Elm ken hirchik yimenesh tei amas. Unless you distance it with two amas. Ask the Gemara b'onan tanan. Then we just learn in our Mishnah arba amas. Alav to the Shmuel shmaminot is a distinction between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. And I saw that the Mefarshim give a number of explanations. What's the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel? One pshat is that the land of Eretz Yisrael is a lot more fertile than the land of Chutz La'aretz, above all. So since it's more fertile, you're going to spend time plowing it because it's a worthwhile endeavor. It's going to grow good fruit. Bavel is really not going to produce great produce anyway, so you're not really doing serious plowing, and that's what two amos is enough. Another pshat is, two other pshat and very similar, is that the land above all was a lot softer than the land of Eretz Yisrael. So by the land of Eretz Yisrael, which is tougher, you have to bring heavy machinery. Heavy machinery takes up more space, so you need Dalet Amos. At Bavel, where it's softer ground, so you don't need such heavy equipment, and two Amos is enough. Along the same lines, in Bavel, where the land is soft, you don't necessarily need to bring any equipment. You can move the land, the ground away with your hands, with shovels. And at Yisrael, where the land is hard, you won't be able to do it with your hands or with shovels. You're going to have to bring a plow. Vika, others have this Gemara in a question-answer form. The Ramalei Mirma, they asked the following question. Tanan, we just learned in our Mishnah, Lo Yita Odom Ilon Samal Chaveroi, you're not allowed to plant a field next to your neighbor. Elm Ken Hechuk Meru Arba Amis, asked the Gemara of Tanya, but the Braisa says, Shtei Amis, how do we reconcile the Mishnah with the Braisa? Answers the Gemara, Amishmu Loi Kasha. Kam Bebavel, Kam Be'er Tisrael. In Bavel, two Amis is enough, and at Tisrael, four Amis are enough. So I saw the Mefarshim point out, the Gemara actually made the same point twice. It asked the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and answered there's a difference between Chutz La'aretz and Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. So why does the Gemara have to say the same thing twice? Is there any difference between the two versions of the Gemara? So I saw a very interesting pshat. The Mefarshim say that according to the first version, it's going to be very absolute. In Eretz Yisrael, you need always four amos. Bavel is always two amos. According to the second version, it has nothing specifically to do with Bavel or Eretz Yisrael. It depends on the land. It depends on the type of ground we're talking about. If the ground, as we explained earlier, is hard, the four amos will be required, whether it's Eretz Yisrael or Bavel. On the other hand, if the ground is soft, whether it's Bavel or Eretz Yisrael, two amos will be enough. Says the Gemara, Rav Barav Kanan Havel Hani Dikli Amitzur de Paradisa de Rabbi Yosef. He had these palm date trees on the border of the property that he had with Rabbi Yosef. Have also Tzipari, Yasvi v'dikli, the birds would sit on the trees, v'nachsi b'paradisi, and then they would fly into the vineyard, or mafstilei, and ruin it. Amalei, zilkaitz. So he told him, cut down your tree. So the Mefarshim asked, starting with Taisvis, this is not giri delay. I just put up a tree. Now the birds go and sit on the tree and then fly into my neighbor's vineyard. That's not giri delay. And we started today's shir that you only chayim be giri delay. So I saw two answers. One answer goes back to something that we discussed earlier in the week. The Gemara said, there was blood letters who were letting bloods and birds would come and they would take the blood and then ruin the fruit. And the Gemara again asked, why is that considered giri delay? Taisus asked, why is that considered giri delay? And Taisus said, because since the blood letters would chase the birds away, that's considered giri delay. Similarly, what happened here was, people were sitting in the field, and the birds would come, and they would chase the birds with their hands to the top of the tree, and then they would go into the paradise. That's called giri delay. The Chazon Ish has a different explanation. The nature of the world is that when you have trees, birds are going to land on the tree. And if I went and I specifically planted these tall trees next to your paradise, that's called giri delay by me planting the trees in such a place. Amalei, v'achikilei, why do I have to cut down my trees? I put up the proper distance that our Mishnah taught us I have to put up. Amalei, so he responded, hani mili leilonis. Our Mishnah that speaks about this distance is from one tree to another tree. Avil gefanim, but if you have a vineyard, being in Tver, you need a further distance. Ask the Gemara, v'anantanan, our Mishnah said, eche gefanim, veche kol ilon, the distance is always 4 amos, both by a vineyard and any other tree. Amalei, so he responded, hani mili, ilon, ilon, v'gefanim, l'gefanim. If I want to separate one tree from another tree, or one vineyard from another vineyard, 4 amos is the shear. Avil ilan l'gfanim. In this situation where we're separating a tree from a vineyard, there, being in tefei, you need a greater distance than 4 amos. Amalei, so he said, anola kitznen. I still refuse to cut down my tree. Domerav, hai dikla de katon kaba, a tree that produces a kava fruit a year, asa l'miksei. You're not allowed to cut down a tree. The halach is, ki adam eitz asada, you're not allowed to cut down a tree. V'amrav chanina, v'shachiv shichis puri, my son shichis did not pass away, elot the cuts tensa b'loi zamnei. Because he cut the tree down, he cut down a tree that was still bearing fruit. So as the Mefarshim say, as Taisus and all the Rishonim begin to discuss, even though, as the Torah tells us, you're not allowed to cut down a tree. But the halacha is, when are you not allowed to cut down a tree? If you're purely doing a destructive act. But if it's not a pure destructive act, as an owl gemara, why is it awesome? So the way to understand owl gemara is fairly simple. In owl gemara, that was the debate. If the trees were really causing you damage, he would say, I would agree to cut down the tree. But I don't think it's causing you damage. You think it's causing damage, you cut it down. But then the question comes up on Shichus. It obvious is that Shichus was a great person, because the only avera they could find on him was that he cut down a tree too early. So the question comes up, if Shichus was a person that followed all the halacha, why didn't he follow this halacha about not cutting down trees? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat, which is a very famous pshat, is that even though al pidin, you're allowed to cut down a tree if it's not just destructive, a person should avoid cutting down a tree, a fruit-bearing tree, under any circumstances. In fact, we know that this halacha, that you're not allowed to cut down a tree, is mentioned in the Tzavah Rabbi Yudah Chosid. And Farsh Mas, why does it have to be mentioned in Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda Chosid? It's a pasuk in the Torah. Because Rabbi Yehuda Chosid is teaching us is that even though halachically you're allowed to cut down the tree, it's not destructive, still a person should avoid cutting down a tree. If there's really no other option, and of course it should always be done under rabbinical advice, you should sell the tree to a guy and have the guy cut down the tree. But a Jew should avoid cutting down a tree. Another, that's one pshat in the Gemara. Another pshat that I saw in the Gemara, that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says, is a very interesting pshat. And it's really based on the same premise that I just said. Cutting down a tree is a very serious issue. It's something to be avoided. So yes, the tree had to be cut down. It was causing damage or whatever. But still, let's think about it, says Rabbi Chanan. My tree is causing you damage. So I have two options. I could cut down the tree, or I could pay you for the damage it does. What the Gemara is teaching us, perhaps, is that it's better to pay for the damage that's being caused than to take the drastic step of cutting down a tree. Because cutting down a tree is very serious. Actually, as we see in the Poskim, there are different attitudes in the Poskim about the Isser of cutting down a tree and how much one should avoid it. Some Poskim are a little more lenient, other Poskim are more machmer. I saw an explanation, is because what is the Isser Bal Tashchis? Is the Isser Bal Tashchis on the tree, or the Isser Bal Tashchis is on the person? If we say the Isser Bal Tashchis is on the tree, so in a case where the tree is causing damage, there's no Bal Tashchis. But if the Isser Bal Tashchis is on the person, I have to avoid doing something that will cause damage, that does Bal Tashchis, and therefore I shouldn't cut down a tree under any circumstances. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in the Micha Shlomo, the Shal Chus Micha Shlomo, uses our Gemara to teach us a very interesting halacha l'maisa. What happened here was there was a debate. He felt that the tree should not be cut down, and the other person said the tree should be cut down. So he said, if you feel it should be cut down, cut it down. We see from here, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that let's say I hold something is usher, but you hold it's mutter. So am I allowed to ask you to do it, or am I to do it? The halacha is you're allowed to. Because if I held it's usher, how am I telling you to do it? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, from here we see, if I, again, it has to be something that I respect that there's a halachic debate, but I take the position that it's us and you take the position it's mutter, I'm allowed to tell you to do it, because as long as you feel it's mutter, there's no issur in me telling you to do so. Rav Papa, continues the Gemara, hav lahanah dikli a mitzvah Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yeshua. Rav Papa had these date palms on the border of the field of Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yeshua. Azal ashkechei the chafer for kakatsa shroshev, that he was digging and cutting the roots. Amalei mayhai, so he says, how are you cutting the roots of my tree? Amalei, so he said, Tanan, we just learned in our Mishnah, hayishroshim yoytzim tach shechaveri, if the roots of my tree are going into your field, mamik shleisha, you could cut the roots that are on the top three tefachim of the soil, kadesh lo yakev hamachresha, because those roots are preventing you from plowing. Amalei, so he said to him, hani mili shleisha. Our Mishnah says that you could cut the roots that enter the top three tefachim of the soil. Have a mar kachafet fei. You're digging deeper. Amalei, and not baris sichem arskufarna. I'm not just plowing over here. I'm digging ditches here. And the Tanan, and we just learned in our Mishnah, that if my neighbor is digging ditches, if my neighbor is digging ditches, and my roots are entering into the area where you're digging ditches, kaitzim, v'yoyrid, v'etzim shaloi. You're allowed to cut those roots. And therefore, he had a legitimate right to cut the roots. Amra Papa, Amalei Kulei, I've tried to come up with all sorts of proof that he should not be allowed to cut my roots, v'loi chilalei. I was not successful. Ad Amalei, until I came up with the following argument. Hodam Rav Yehuda, if there's a path that people, that the rabbim started walking on it, once it's established, no one has a right to demolish it. After he left, why didn't you respond? He said, why didn't you tell him that when is the halacha that you can't cut the roots? That's only the roots that are in the first 16 amos after the tree. Because as we're going to learn in the Gemara soon, the roots that emanate the first 16 amos of the tree are significant, that the tree needs them to exist. However, roots that are past 16 amos are not so essential for the well-being of the tree, and they can be cut. You could have made that distinction. The Mefarshim asked, because our Gemara is going to say it, we're going to learn it tomorrow. Here we're saying that the shear is 16 amma. We're going to speak about it more in a moment. We learned actually in the Mishnah that the shear is 25 amma. So the Gemara says 16 amma, 25 ammas is the amount that the roots spread. But 16 ammas are the first 16 ammas are the essential amount that the roots need, the tree needs those roots to continue to exist. Our Gemara just taught us the halacha. The Meitzah Shechzika by Rabbim. If this question comes up fairly often. If there's a path that people have established to walk on, Osel Kakla, you can't take away that path. Machloikis Rishonim. What is the definition of Meitzah Shechzika by Rabbim? Many Rishonim explain that Meitzah Shechzika by Rabbim is that once the Rabbim already walked on this path, it becomes a path that the owner of the path can't take it away from the public. Others say, just by walking on it, that's not enough of a chazakah. Meitzah shechzika by Rabbim say to Rishonim that you have to do an actual maisa kinyan, a maisa chazakah. So I saw a very interesting shayla that came up la'alocha la'maisa. There was somebody that owned in Eretz Yisrael a plot of land that was empty. And people in the neighborhood would walk through the plot of land to go to shul. They used it as a shortcut. Then the owner of that property wanted to put up a building. And the people who used that path came and took him to Din Torah. They said, it's a Meitzah Shechzika by Rabbim. And our Gemara says that a Meitzah Shechzika by Rabbim, you can't take away from the Rabbim. You have no right to put up a building there. So the Bezdin passed that the landlord has every right to put up a building. And there were two reasons they passed in that way. The Masham says a very bechidish. He said, just like the Rishonim we just quoted say that to be considered a Meitzah Shechzika by Rabbim, it's not enough that they just walk on it, but a Maisa Kinyan is required. Says the Masham, nowadays where something is not considered legally anybody's unless it's properly registered, just doing even a Maisa Kinyan in itself would not be adequate. Here, this path was never registered in the government files that this path belongs to the Rabbim. And therefore, even if they did a Maisa Kinyan, says the Masham, that wouldn't be enough. Because you have to have that registration. And therefore, it's not considered a Meitzah Shechzika by Rabbim. That was one reason. Another reason is that when does the din a Meitzah Shechzika by Rabbim apply? So the Pais can say it applies like this. I own a piece of property. And I conscientiously said, I have this piece of property that I could choose to do whatever I want on, but I'm going to be, for whatever reason, nice and let the Rabbim walk on that property. Then a Meitzah Shechzika by Rabbim applies. That's not the case here. Over here, it wasn't because I was being nice that I said, you know what, the Rabbim could walk here. I had no use for this property. So as long as I had no use of the property, I wasn't ready to put up a building there. So I said, you can walk on it. But as soon as I have a use, that my giving it over to the Rabbim stopped. And it's not considered a situation of Meitzah Shechzika by Rabbim. Says the Gemara, Hayu Chayfa by Bar Sir Chamara. We learned that if my neighbor is digging a ditch for Yairid, and the roots of my tree are entering into his ditch, he could cut those roots out. And the Mishnah, as we said, the last words of the Mishnah were for Eitzim Shaloi. Says the Gemara, Bar Mina Yaakov Chedaiva Merev Chizda. Eitzim Shalmi. When the Mishnah says that he keeps the Eitzim, who is the one that keeps the Eitzim? Amalei Tenesua. We learned in a Braisa. Shar She Ilan Shal Hegid. If there's a tree in a regular person's property, Habar Mishal Hegdish. And those roots of my tree, I have a tree on my property that are entering property that belongs to Hegdish. The halacha is, loy menem v'loy malam. We know that if somebody benefits from something that belongs to Hegdish, it's considered mila b'Hegdish. He has to pay keren, v'chaymish, and bring a carbon me'ila. If somebody benefits from these roots, There's no mila here. If we say that the roots are considered belonging to the person that owns the tree, because the tree belongs to the hegyet, so the roots, even if they're going into the property of the hegdish, still are the hegyet's roots, and that's why mila doesn't apply here. We have to look where the roots actually are. So the roots are on the property of hegdish. And if the roots are the property of hegdish, amai loy ma'alin, elamai, so what is this Mishnah seemingly teaching us? The basa as ilan as linen. And therefore we follow the tree, and the tree is considered, and therefore in our Mishnah, taking it a step further, if the roots of my tree are entering into your field, the roots follow the owner of the tree, and now when the roots, as the Mishnah taught us, you have a right to cut those roots, but who are the owner of the roots? The owner of the tree. Rav Chaim Brisker uses this Gemara to teach us a very big yesod. The yeshiva, in the yeshivas, the question comes up, how does halacha view me'ila behegdish? Does the halacha view me'ila behegdish as an act of geneva? Just, there are special rules that the Torah gave to this act of geneva, because the victim of this geneva is not another individual, it's hegdish. Or is me'ila behegdish a whole new concept? So he says, if our Gemara is attempting to bring a raya from me'ila behegdish to our Gemara, so we see that me'ila behegdish is a regular situation of geneva, just the victim is hegdish. Ask the Gemara, Eimah Sefer, let's continue learning that Gemara, shall hegdish aboim shall hegyet, if the roots of hegdish are entering the field of a hegyet, the loch is loy nenev loy malin. If somebody benefits from those roots, it's not considered they did me'ila behegdish. Ask the Gemara, v'ibasi ilan azlinan, if we say we follow the tree, here the owner of the tree is hegdish. So why, if I benefit from the roots of that tree, did I not do me'ila? I'm my ma'alin. Ask the Gemara, me the area. That entire Mishnah is not a raya. Because there we're referring, b'gdulim haboyim la'achim kanaskinan. There our Mishnah is referring to part that grew after it was Migdash. And the Gemara says, in the Sechta Me'ila, v'kusavar ein Me'ila b'gdulin. If I was a chiddush, we'll learn in the Sechta Me'ila, that if somebody has roots that are real hegdish, no question, you have a field that's hegdish, the roots are in that field, and after I was magdish, that field, those roots expanded, that there is no me'ila on that. Like Ravina gives a different question. Can the Torah Sheshes Rama, as we said a moment ago, can the Chusla Sheshes Rama? The Reish that says that the roots are connected to the tree, refer to the roots that are in the first 16 amos from the tree. For as we said before, the roots that are closest to the tree, those 16 amos, which are essential for the existence of the tree, are considered part of the tree. Roots that are after 16 amos are not essential to the tree, and therefore belong to wherever they are. So we take that back to our Mishnah, where our Mishnah says that if my roots are going into your field where you want to dig a ditch, you're allowed to cut those roots. If they're within 16 amos of the tree, the halacha will be that they belong to the owner of the tree. If they're further than 16 amos from the tree, they will belong to the person in whose field they were. Says the Gemara, Amar Ula, Ilan HaSamach LeMeitzer, B'toich Shesh Esrei Ama, if there's a tree which is within 16, which is next to your field, and my roots, if it's within 16 amma, gazlenhu. Since though the roots, as we keep on repeating, of the first 16 ammas are essential to the existence of the tree, that means my tree is living off your property, so I'm a gazlen. And we know the halacha is that every year, bikurim, the first fruits of the shivas haminim that were grown in Etzisrael, one had to bring to the Beis HaMikdash and give it to the Kayin and say a whole parsha. But the Torah says, and it's obvious, that you only bring, the Pasuk says the words, Ashatovim Artzcha, fruit that grew in your property, fruit that was grown not in your property. This is a prime example. The fruit was grown, it was growing off your property, I can't bring as Bikurim. Emavim Bikurim, you cannot bring Bikurim. Why? Because Ula is of the opinion that the first 16 Amos is essential to the tree's well-being. Ask the Gemara, how does Ula come to this number of 16? The halach is as follows. There's a shmita year. And the truth is, the Torah, there's a halach l'mosh m'sinai, that even though shmita begins on Rosh Hashanah, 30 days before shmita is already Tosfos shmita. And you're ready for 30 days before shmita, you can't work on the field. The Rabbanan, under certain circumstances, made it even earlier, Shavuos and Pesach. But there's a din, that if you have es in the tiyos hamufazaris b'toch pesach, if you have 10 saplings, 10 young trees that are in the area of a pesach, so since these trees are young trees, and if you won't work with them until Rosh Hashanah, they won't exist, choshen ko pesach, we could continue to plow the entire Beis Sa'ar b'shvilan ad Rosh Hashanah. What the definition of a young tree is? Some say it's the first 3 years, others say it's the first 4 years, others say even longer shurim, others say really every tree is different. Some trees are considered young for longer, some are considered long for shorter. But the Gemara says here that that's the shear. Now, says the Gemara, kama havelhu, what is the area of a Beis Sa'ar? Trei Alpha B'chamisha Gamida. It's an area of 2,500 Amos. If we divide 2,500 by 10, L'kol Chad V'chad Kamamati, how much area do we have for each tree? Mas V'chazvin. We'll have 250. 250 times 10 equal 2,500. Hare Havad Ula. Ula says that the shear is 16 by 16. Which means 16 in each direction, which is 32 amas square. If you multiply 32 by 32, you end up with a shear of 1,042, which is a lot more than 250. So the Gemara is saying, Ula says that the shear that a tree needs to for nutrition is 16 by 16, which is 32 squared, which is 1,042, and here we're saying that the shear is 250. So we still need to know where we get this number of 16 being the amount that a tree needs, that its roots for its essential existence.